And speaking of fishing reports, it's been a great week on the Mobile Tensaw Delta. Captain Wayne Miller is here to tell us all about it and look at the weekend for you. How you doing, Wayne?
Man, I'm doing great, Alan. It's been absolutely a fantastic week here on the Delta. And man, today's just been a remarkable morning. I'm still out on the water right now, down on the causeway, and really have caught some beautiful fish this morning. It's the bass bite, you're not catching them everywhere, and primarily targeting the creeks. Basically what you've got this time of year, these fish are stacked up in these creeks, and that's where they're going to be until it's time to move into the bays and spawn. And it's just a matter of getting in there on the different tide stages and kind of figuring out where the fish are holding and trying to find something they'll bite.
Are they in the creeks, but are they holding on structure or?
Yeah, I've caught some this morning that were on some ledges. They're going to be on something. They love to get around wood. Of course, down here, you're pretty limited, the amount of wood that you've got in these creeks. So,
that's right.
But that works in your favor because on a day like today, when you had a real low tide first thing in the morning, it makes it easy finding and seeing where that wood is.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of wood that's there, it's going to have fish on.
Well, especially in the lower delta, there's not a lot of trees to provide that wood, in the marshes. But in the middle delta and upper delta, you've got plenty of wood in the water everywhere. So
right, yeah. But down here, I've primarily been focused on the causeway this week, and just really have caught some phenomenal fish. So, mm-hmm. just give the listeners an idea. My best five fish this morning would probably be around 17, 18 pounds.
Mm-hmm. You sent
so
me some.
That's some really quality fish for the Delta.
I posted some of your pictures that you sent me on Great Days Outdoors Coastal Sportsman Facebook page this morning. Those are some fat fish, man. They look like they're full of eggs.
Yeah, they're ready to do their thing. We've been really fortunate in that. You mentioned, the middle and the upper delta. And, the situation we've got right now, typically this time of year, we've already got flooded conditions. And, we've been fortunate in that the water's still in great shape.
Yeah. What kind of lures are they hitting this month?
I've been catching some on crankbaits, and the ones that you catch are really good quality fish.
Mm-hmm.
But, the vast majority of the bite that I've been on this week, and especially this morning, has been with plastic. I'm throwing, lizards and just 6 and 7 inch worms and mm-hmm. June bug and blue, darker colors, because the water's in great shape, but even when our water's in good shape, it's still got a stain to it.
Yeah.
So the darker colors typically work pretty well.
This is almost, I don't know for sure, but it seems like the water is almost at a historical low for the past week or two. It just seems like I've never seen it stay this low for this long in a long time.
Yeah, it's been fantastic from the standpoint of, really on the low tides, and especially on the days where we've had a north wind, it's really pulled that water down. And for most of the guys that fish this time of year, those are the conditions you want. It's not always the easiest on the fishermen, but from the standpoint of stacking the fish up and really having some banner days down here, it's ideal situation.
Yeah. It's so low, as a matter of fact, they've been able to locate the last slave ship that came into Mobile. They've located it. They've been looking for that thing for 100 years, so that tells you how low the water is.
Yeah.
All right. Wayne, have you heard anything from your crappie fishing friends or your brim fishing guys about the bite there?
No, I really hadn't. I hadn't seen, down here, I hadn't seen anybody targeting the panfish at all.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's been very little traffic out this week. I've been kind of surprised with the weather because, I mean, like today, I've only seen one other boat fishing today, and it's just a absolutely gorgeous day for the Delta. And of course, we got some rain forecast going into the weekend, and hopefully, it won't be real heavy.
Yeah, hope not. Hope it stays this way for y'all a long time, buddy. Thanks so much for the report.
Okay, have a good one.
All right. All right, let's check in with Mike Thompson, who reports on the Upper Mobile Bay along our Causeway area. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Alan.
Well, redfish, speckled trout, what's going on this weekend?
Redfish are still going on strong. It seems like they don't have a let-up. A lot of the fish, what I'm going to talk about speckled trout now, have moved up a little shallower this week because of the warming trend we've had. You know, it stayed so cold.
Yeah.
We've had some nice sunny days to warm that water up, and one of my buddies was out fishing during the week, and he found some live shrimp, and he caught some nice specks on a sandy sandbar, dropped off into a creek. He's done well around, you know, old structure you can find, like it, old piers and some of these creeks. So these specks are still around, hanging around in the Delta. And they're hanging in places that you wouldn't think. And I got a real hot report about some fish being in some shallow water. And the best I want to do without causing a traffic jam is work the grass edges. Work the grass edges with your grubs or your live shrimp under a popping cork.
Uh-huh.
And you'll find both specks and reds in some of these lower bays.
Well, the sun is penetrating pretty good down in that shallow water. I guess the specks and reds are seeking a little warmth there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's still a lot of fish being caught in the deeper water, but this warm-up has really helped. And it what happens is you get kind of in a mode, and you think deep. Well, it's January. We got to fish deep. But when it warms up a little bit, you know, those fish move up. So, you know, some of your shallow water spots where you've been catching, you know, in the last month or so, you need to give them a try, too. Now, the specks have moved way up into the creeks, you know, along Dog River, Fowl River, places like that. You know, when the water got real cold and the water looks good, the water's in real good shape, these nice specks have moved up into the farthest reaches, and they're in, you know, 6 to 8 foot of water. There was a couple of real nice specks caught in Fowl River this week, two of them over 7 pounds. So if you're a speck fisherman and you're looking to get in on some, this could be your weekend.
You know, we're getting ready to be in the best time of the year for sheep's head. Have you got a report for us on sheep's head?
Oh, yeah, they're still banging the sheep head down at Theodore Canal. The guys that are catching them are using the little fiddler crabs, and they're fishing around rocks, and they're fishing around structure like the docks and what have you. There's a lot of commercial docks in Theodore Canal. And they just, you know, the guys that are catching them are keeping it real quiet, but their ice chests aren't quiet when you open them up. All the fish in there flopping around.
A sheep's head bite is sort of a subtle bite, am I right?
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of a bream until he actually gets a hold of it, and then it reminds you of a tank.
Yeah.
they are some tough fish. You want to use some extra heavy hooks on the sheep head because they'll break off a regular hook when they make a dive on you if you've got strong enough line. And use as small a bait as you can because they get kind of finicky. And if you put a whole shrimp or a large piece of shrimp, they'll just bite around your hook. They're pretty crafty.
They are. And a lot of people refer to them as goats. Their mouth resembles a goat, and they sure have some strong teeth, too.
Well, I looked at one time, and fortunately, my wife wasn't on board. I told a friend of mine, I said, look at that. Looks like my mother-in-law.
Well, I hope she's not listening today, Mike. So.
Well, she had her teeth in that day. So.
Oh, man. Well, how about bass? We just talked to Wayne Miller.
Oh, man. Another good report. This is very odd. My buddy was out bass fishing, found some live shrimp. He likes to use a brim buster, and he set the hook on a bass, and his line popped right where the line ties onto the fiberglass tip, and his cork took off across the creek. and it kept going under, and he told his girlfriend, he said, hey, we got to go get my cork. And they went after the cork and went all the way across the creek, and when they finally got to the cork and they picked it up, there was nothing on it. And he was retying, and his girlfriend was just bored, so she drops the shrimp out, immediately goes down, then another. And he said it was incredible, a place they never intended to fish, but that bass swam over to that spot where the other bass were, and he said they must have caught 30 bass in that one area with nothing there to tell them to fish there other than that cork.
Well, you know, that is good because that's one way to find a school of bass. I've heard of people catching the small bass in a school, tying a cork to it, and letting it go, and following that cork for, you know, an hour, because those schools move around, and you can keep up with them like that.
Well, it was sure a fortunate thing on his part that he either didn't have a good knot tied or his line was a little weak, because he said it was incredible. He said the fishing was so good, he pulled out, you know, his plastics, and he caught two or three bass on plastic, worms, and he said he tried a spinnerbait. He said they did not want it. He said the only bass he caught on the spinnerbait was when he let it go all the way to the bottom and slow rolled it across the bottom, but they did not want the spinnerbait up high. They wanted something down low on the bottom.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, Mike, you have a great weekend, bud.
You too, Al.
We've got Captain Bobby Abrascado standing by with a inshore fishing report for you. Captain, how you doing, bud?
Good afternoon, Big Al. Well, I'm a little warmer than I've been, like, for the last week or so, the last few days. I guess that's pretty much kind of like the same way that the fish have been, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It is getting warmer, and I'm glad to see it myself.
I like it when we start talking about, you know, 38, 39-degree mornings, calling that getting warmer. You know we've had a sure enough cool snap, you know.
Yeah.
Because it sure enough has been cold, and the water's still cold, you know, but you get these warm-up days, and you know, especially like you know, where the water's as clear as it is right now everywhere. I mean, all the way from the Delta down through the tidal rivers right now, the water's just really, really pretty. And I guess that light penetration, especially on the darker banks, really warms it up. And, you know, to a cold-blooded creature like the fish we chase after, that 1 or 2 degrees really seems to mean a lot.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it through the weekend. I mean, knock on wood, boy, it's just been a great, you know, late fall and winter this year. There's you know, despite all the cold and everything, there's really been some pretty dadgum good speckled trout fishing over, you know, especially over the last month or so. It's really been good. So I hope I'm not putting a whammy on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike is telling us earlier in the show that the sun's penetrating that shallow water and the fish are moving up into the shallow water some, and you can catch them in places you wouldn't normally think you could catch one. Is that have you experienced that too?
Well, it makes that, and that's exactly, I think that's a lot of what's going on, you know, is, you know, we talk about fishing, you know, solely deep this time of year, you know, and I still think you kind of need to focus on the deepest areas, you know, of the area that you're fishing, you know, the various river systems in our area, the depths, you know, deep in one river is shallow in another, and so on and so forth, you know, but that's exactly the case. And if you think about the water column, you know, the narrower the water column, the quicker it warms up. It's like sticking your feet in a mud puddle in the summer, man. That's like boiling hot water, you know, but you can go jump in your pool and it's cool. So, you know, that, and that's kind of what happens. I think that's a lot of what happens. But the other thing, we've been having these really low water events. And so some of the places that you could probably even catch fish in the earlier fall or certainly in the spring, some of the shallower bays are barely navigable. It's certainly in a big bay boat like my big Skeeter, it's you know, some of that stuff you can't even get to, much less fish. So I've been really still focusing on the edges of the channels, the ledges, the drop-offs, and the in the river channels. And sometimes the fish are in the channel itself, and sometimes they, you know, they'll get out on the flats on the edges of the channel, but they're never far away from that deep water. And I think they instinctively know, you know, between water level drops and water, I mean, air temperature drops, they've got to get to that sanctuary of the deeper water, you know. So I think they just kind of relate to that. And, you know, you get little stretches like we're having now and we're going to have through the weekend, and you'll find them spreading out onto those flats, you know. And it's been all kind of a fin fish deal for me over the last month. It's been about the same. We're almost used exclusively that slick lure this time of year, you know, unless I maybe have to get down and start using a grub. But that type of bait works so well this time of year because the fish are on finfish right now. There's just very, very few shrimp. I don't know if the stores are carrying them or any of the bait shops are carrying them, but and if you could get some, you'd probably whack them with them. But, you know, it's pretty much, I pretty much just go to a, I've been going to just a finfish imitation through the dead of winter, and that's been really getting it done on some quality fish.
You know, the Alabama Coastal Fishermen's Association held their Winter Classic tournament last weekend. I want to congratulate you on the win, man.
Well, I appreciate it. My partner, Richard Rutland, was with me, and, man, that was a fun win. We've placed in that tournament over the last few years and just never had quite been able to get to the breakthrough of the win, and we did this weekend. And, man, there were some nice fish caught in that thing, and it was a catch and release. I mean, not a catch and release, but, you had to keep them alive. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the time of year if you really want to keep them alive. It was really cool at the weigh-in what they did, and there were some volunteers, and I know I'm going to leave somebody out, so I'm not going to even try. But if you can go to that Winter Classic Facebook page, they have all the sponsors, but there's some people that really worked hard, and it was really cool seeing all those trout, you know, come in and get tagged and put in a weigh tank. And man, that tank was the place that I really would have liked to have been fishing, because there was a pile of nice speckled trout swimming around in that thing when we got done with that tournament.
It's a great organization, and congratulations on winning that thing, man. It's a good deal. So I appreciate the report, Bobby. Thank you so much.
All right, Big Al. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. All right. You know, when the water gets real cold in the wintertime, the crappie go deep, and they gather up in big wads down in the deep water. Miller's Ferry is the crappie capital of Alabama. Let's talk to Joe Dunn about that and see what's happening up there at Miller's Ferry. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Al.
All right. Yeah. Well, good
that
deal.
Water done got real cold. Uh-huh. I got to go some last weekend, and it was between 43 and 44 degrees when I started off that morning. Then it warmed up just a degree or two in some of the flues, but in the main river, it stayed pretty much that temperature all day long. But it's tough right now. It's tough when the water gets that cold. But I didn't do much at all. I should have went deer hunting that day instead of going crappie fishing. But anyway, saying that, now there was some other guys that did good. They zeroed in and locked in on some. And matter of fact, there was one guy in that Wilcox County big crappie contest going on right now. He took the lead with one at 2.34. Kenny Massengale did, and so somebody's finding them. I mean, even though I couldn't find them, he found them. So, for me, it was slow. Like I said, I fished everywhere from around 20 foot all the way on out there to about 30, 35 foot and back up. And I caught just a few, and they were all real small. I just never did zero in on them.
Exactly right, Joe. You know, when you do find them, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you can stay right there and catch a boatload, because they do gather up in big schools, and they're kind of lethargic down there. They just got all their noses together, and you have to put the bait right in front of them. Wintertime crappie fishing is a lot harder than when it's summertime and they're swimming out everywhere and they're spreading around there. You can pick them up all kinds of ways, but finding them is the key. So how important is the electronics when it comes to finding them?
It is very important. I mean, that's number one this time of year. You need good electronics, all this new 3D stuff, and you got to have it. I mean, if you don't, you're just stabbing in the dark. Mm-hmm. And it can put you can find the bait fish, and generally they're going to be really close or right around that bait fish, and then so that's the whole key, is trying to, locate stuff with your electronics and believe it, because whatever it's down there, it's there. like I said, the new technology is way more advanced than what it used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see everything, the limbs, you can see bigger fish, bait fish. You got to have it nowadays to really stay really competitive with the crappie.
That's right. You know, and they're coming out with upgraded electronics. Seems like twice a year they come out with new models that do a little bit different or a little better job at it, too.
Oh, I mean, that's the only bad thing with it is today's latest greatest in 6 months is something, they keep coming out with something better.
Well, I certainly can't keep up with it. That's for sure. I'm still learning to read what I've got. So, yeah, that's the most important thing is learning to read what you buy. So, all right. Well, Joe, you have a great weekend, bud, and take care.
I appreciate it, Alan.
All right, let's check in with Jay Graddick, who gives us a deer report. Jay is the owner of Skinner's Wild Game Deer Processing and pretty much keeps up with how the deer are doing around Thomasville, the Black Belt, and even in down here in Baldwin County. Jay, how's it going, buddy?
Man, it's going good. It's going good.
Well, I understand from one of your workers that I talked to the other day that y'all are just overwhelmed with the big bucks in Thomasville coming in.
Yes, sir. There in the last probably 10 days, there's been a lot of big bucks taken up there in the Thomasville area. We've had, I know of several deer that we put on the scale that were over 200 pounds on the scale. So some big mature bucks hitting the ground.
Well, that tells me that the rut is probably in full swing up in that area.
Absolutely, it is. We've actually got some deer that come in. Matter of fact, I was told this morning a real nice buck came in and it looked like it was wore down a little bit. It looked like it'd been, you know, well on its feet for a while and starting to show signs of a little weight loss and everything else. But at the same time, we've had some real horses come in, 210, 215, 220-pound deer.
Well, you know, different does come in heat at different times. That one deer that you said was wore down probably spent the last week chasing his girlfriend.
Absolutely. I tell you right now, we've had this, our weather has affected the movement a little bit, but if you got an opportunity to go hunting, you need to go hunting. Mm-hmm. Right now, these deer, you know, there's one of the things that I talk about is, you got these trail cam pictures, these big bucks, they're nocturnal. A, you get a chance to maybe see one of those guys in the daylight. And B, the deer that live on your neighbor's land, there's a good chance that deer is roaming around and he's on your land now. So you really get it, you know, you really kind of stir in the ant bed. You got these big bucks that are moving around a lot. And your opportunity to harvest one is much greater right now than it was a month ago.
You're absolutely right about that. This is the only time of year during the rut that those big bucks really move territories or move around a lot. They're looking every day, every night for a receptive doe, and they can travel, you know, up to 4 miles in a radius.
Yes, sir. Quite often we get, you know, this time of year, since these trail cameras have been around, quite often I have conversations with people say, yeah, the people next to me got 2,000 acres, and on the other side, they had this deer on picture, you know, had him on camera, and I got him on my plate, you know. So, yeah, they do travel around a good bit this time of year. They just kind of, they're making their rounds.
We talked about this a little bit with you last week when we had that special show about hunting the rut, and you gave us some good advice. One of the things we talked about is hunting during the middle of the day during this time of year. You just never know when that big buck will show up.
If you can stand it, you know, Alan, what happens a lot is our hunting season, you got such a long season up to this point in time, and people get a little fatigued, they get burnt out, when really now's the time that you got to keep mentally stay sharp for what's going on. If you're going to sit all day, if you got to break it up, then put you a plan together where you hunt two or three different stand sites during the day. You don't have to stay in the same tree.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you'll be, if it's happening, now think about it. I want you to remember, how many times have you ever had another person say, well, that's the deer that came by me a half a mile back chasing the doe. That almost never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that chasing and going after that doe happens in a small area, smaller area than you think.
Yeah.
Probably a 50-acre area or something like that.
Well,
so you can move around and you can take advantage of and get in the hot seat instead of the cheap seat.
They do tend to chase in circles. I had one year that chased a doe by me three times before I was able to get a shot at it. So that, you know, just because one chases a doe by you, that doesn't mean the game is over, too.
Oh, sir. And don't pick up your binoculars. Now's not the time.
You better pick up the rifle and the scope. All right,
you
Jay.
You hear a commotion, you pick it up. Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Thank you.
All right, sir. Bye-bye.